Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for just taking time to visit our sponsors and supporters. Glad that you stayed with us. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And now we're going to go to Pat. You wanted to...
Yeah, I was listening to Clay and Buck on the way here, and they had Frank Siller on, the founder of Tunnels to Towers Foundation. And this is the 25th anniversary of 9/11. I don't know about you, but it hardly seems like that much time has passed, because it was like if you'd been alive for Pearl Harbor or the JFK assassination, you know where you were when you heard about it. And it's not something that you're likely to forget.
What percentage of our population do you think was born after 9/11?
I have no idea. But that was one of the questions Frank was asked. How many of our people that have been born since do you think are aware of 9/11? And he said the people that give to 9/11, to Tunnels to Towers, their children certainly know.
I'm going to say everybody under 25.
Okay. Everybody under 25 knows about 9/11.
Doesn't know.
Oh. So at any rate, they have an event coming up where they're going to take a 7-ton chunk of steel and concrete, to 35 cities, and it's going to end on 9/9. Or 9/11, but on 9/9, it'll be at the White House with President Trump. And then on 9/11, it'll go back to New York City.
According to AI, which we can take however we want to, approximately 30% of Americans were born after September 11.
Wow. Well, one of the things they said, Frank Siller said, was 343 firefighters lost their lives on 9/11. I was not aware that the number was so high.
And many of them have lost their lives since then because of the lung problems with
the various cancers. Yeah. So I wish I could go see the steel. I don't know if it's coming to a city near me. It's not coming to New Bern.
It's coming up Route 95, you said, Interstate 95. So whether it's going to stop or just transit along there through North Carolina, I don't know. But that's what he said. It's coming up Interstate 95.
Oh, okay.
Well, we could all make a group trip to Raleigh.
There you go. At any rate, I donate monthly to Tunnels to Tower. I think paying off the mortgages for injured first responders
and military.
And military is certainly a good deal. And I encourage people listening to me to go online to t2t.org and investigate whether that's something that you'd like to do as well.
And in addition to that, they're taking over hotels and refurbishing them, right? It's Tunnels to Tower that's doing that, refurbishing them for housing.
For veterans.
Yeah, for veterans. In addition to paying off mortgages, and they're getting housing for veterans.
Yeah.
And that gives me goosebumps because that's a noble thing.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
It's a great charity, and it's interesting how it got its name. I believe I'm correct on this. It was his brother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Youngest brother by 10 years.
His brother was a fireman. And the guy tunneled the towers. He ran through a tunnel to make his way to the tower.
Mm-hmm. With his 65-pound backpack on his back.
Yeah, that's how he got the name Tunnel to Towers, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, Mary, about the people who got sick from it and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mayor Giuliani... he's been in the hospital for the last 4 or 5 days with a breathing disorder. And some people think that, you know, because he was down there a lot, you know, during the recovery from it, and they're suspecting perhaps he caught something. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe he just smokes bad cigars. I don't know. But it is interesting that he was the mayor there, and he almost died of a breathing disorder.
You know, we have a nephew that moved down from New York. He's only 10 miles away from us right now. But he was working down in the Trade Center for one of the large stockbroker companies. And after the towers came down, he had to continue working there get the computer systems working as the traders moved over to New Jersey. And he's 60 years old, but probably got the lungs of about an 85-year-old right now.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason that you mentioned about 343 firemen, part of the problem was I don't think they anticipated the buildings collapsing. Because when they went in, the fire was up several stories high. I don't know, maybe there's
65 or so.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. But the point was the firemen went in to put the fire out. And unfortunately, what happened was the fire was so intense it caused the beams to collapse. And once they started, it was like one after the other and the whole thing.
The pancaking.
The building code had changed while they were in the process of building those buildings. And there was a coating that was required.
Chartek coating, yeah.
On the lower floors. And by the time they got to the higher floors, the building code had changed. And because it was expensive to do that, they didn't do that. And unfortunately...
What is this code?
Chartek is a coating. It's a ceramic type coating that you put on the steel. Oh. It's used on a lot of the drilling, drilling rigs and whatever else. That delays any effect from the fire multiple hours. One of the other things that we were up in New England at that time, we had relatives in the New York area, and actually I know from the fire department that my dad had been on. They did lose a few of the members there. But people could not let children out of school in the New York area.
Right.
You had no idea whether there were parents to come home to. You go and you looked at whether it was out in Garden City on Long Island or whether it was over in New Jersey. You looked at the parking lots that just stayed full of cars, now abandoned cars. It really.
Was that the beginning of something, or was that simply a reflection of something that had been brewing for a while?
What, 9/11, the 9/11 attack?
Yes.
Was it part of an overarching plan?
No,
I don't think
was
so.
Was it part of something that had been simmering for a while and all of a sudden showed up?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about planning. I mean, it was planned for a long time that people who flew the planes came over here and took lessons on how to fly those planes.
Some of them took lessons in New Bern.
But the odd thing about it was that they weren't focused on landing.
Yeah.
The instructors later on said it was peculiar with these people because they were just interested in learning how to take off and fly the plane. And when it came to learning how to land, they weren't interested. And nobody, I guess you don't necessarily think something bad's going to happen, but there we had these people coming over from a foreign country that we were at odds with, and we're teaching them how to fly these aircraft.
I would like to interject that, to your comment, Mary, you asked if it's something that was simmering. I think it's still simmering.
Yes.
I don't think it's ever gone away. I think that it's proven that they're very patient people, and they are slowly infiltrating every level of the government, and fear is a wonderful motivator.
Well, it was interesting, too, when that happened. That was Al-Qaeda. The Muslim Brotherhood was not happy that they did that because they felt like they had rushed it. Because the Muslim Brotherhood wanted to wait until attacking the financial center of America, which is what that was, would bring down the country. And they felt like through CARE and other organizations like that, they had not softened the playing field to the point where that was going to be effective. They didn't argue with the terrorism aspect. They just said you did it too soon.
And I think yes, they had declared war on us. We just had not acknowledged or recognized it.
But that's our situation with Iran. They declared war on us in 1979, and we've just sort of ignored them.
But I totally agree with Kim that we don't know what's simmering out there now, really. And until we continue to eradicate people through the ICE efforts and trying to get the illegals out of here, who knows? Who knows
what we're up against? Because we have no idea who came over the border during the Biden administration.
Right.
And, of course, we know that for a few weeks, maybe even a couple of months after 9/11, everybody was patriotic. We're coming up on the 250th anniversary right now, and the question is, what percentage of this country is patriotic now?
I am.
You're America First hat.
Me too.
Yes.
America
First.
Brought to you by the courtesy of the red, white, and blue, Toby Keith. Yay.
But you know, you look at what Trump's been doing, and I like to talk about that because I think it's too easy for people to kind of get lost in, well, the gas prices have gone up and all this stuff. Okay, fine. I mean, I wish they would get lower too, but if you look at all the positive things he's done, that's what we have to focus on. And look what he did with Venezuela. Took out a communist that was taking Venezuela in the wrong direction. He stopped China from taking over controlling Panama, the canal, and now he's got Cuba on the ropes. He's got Cuba shut off from their oil supply because they're getting their oil supply from Venezuela. And I don't know where China's going to wind up because China used to get most of their oil from Venezuela. And now, of course, he's focusing on Iran. So I think we have a lot to be thankful for that he is addressing these threats that other people did not address.
And at the same time that we're lauding successes of President Trump, I think we need to take issue with the fact that most of the accomplishments or the major accomplishments were executive order, and these things can be undone if we don't maintain control in the midterms.
And that's where Congress needs to learn the lesson of Indiana, and we can come back with that. That's a tease. But some things that happened in Indiana this week.
And I think, you know, and I know we're running out of time at the moment, but just want to make one comment. I think people need to recognize that Trump is the conservative leader that's saving this country. And what they need to do is, in this coming election, the theme should be, for all conservatives and patriots, save Trump's agenda. Because
yes.
That is exactly what you're talking about. If you don't put that agenda items into structural legislature, then the next person that comes in could undo all of it, part of it, and undo everything he's accomplished.
Preach it, brother.
I am.
Save the agenda and make sure you get out the vote. Yes. Folks, I think we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Mary, you're taking us somewhere else.
Indiana had a primary election this week for their state legislature. And of the seven Republican candidates who were up for re-election who had voted against redistricting the state, five of them lost in their primary. They did not do what the voters wanted them to do.
The redistricting in the state that was proposed was to get rid of the racial preference in the districting, which actually came out as a Supreme Court decision.
There will be new Republicans in those slots.
In their state.
Yeah, there were 21 Republicans in Indiana voted with the Democrats to kill the new redistricting map. And seven of them had primaries. And Trump asked the Indiana voters to get rid of them. And they got rid of five. Now, there's a sixth one. She lost by three votes, and she thinks she's going to win on recount, which they're waiting for now, because of provisional ballot. So that may be six out of seven. And I think the voters sent the Republicans in that legislature a pretty strong message.
And all of those, other than that one, all of those losses were greater than an 18%.
They were huge margins.
Differential.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Every state should promote that phenomena.
We're looking at a Congress that has the SAVE Act hung up that 85% of Americans support, and they're stalling it, avoiding it, not passing it, whatever you want to call it. Who do they represent?
I think the problem is that a lot of these so-called Republicans, rhinos, whatever you want to call them, they want to bring a knife to a gunfight. The Democrats have been using gerrymandering for years. Look what they've done in New England, as you mentioned before. They have been taking advantage of it. And here they have an opportunity to balance things out, and they don't take it because they want to take the high road, I guess. I don't know what their reasoning is. But there's Trump trying to save his agenda, and you got these people who are fighting against it.
One of the guys that lost his primary gave a speech in December on the floor of their state Senate and was crying about how it was the most important vote. It was saving democracy, blah, 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 blah. It was some old dude, too.
Why are we saving democracy when we're a republic?
Exactly.
But they don't know the difference yet.
But even if you want to take the word democracy, in the true form, democracy is mob rule, right?
Yes. Right.
In New England, they don't have a democracy either because they are only representing the left.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're not a democracy there either.
They have six states without a representative in the U.S. House of Representatives in places where between 38% and 48% of the voters are Republicans. So where's their representation?
Yeah. That's what I'm afraid of is with all this redistricting stuff. I think it's wrong no matter which side does it. I don't know really how you fix it with drawing the districts, but I think statewide, if your state is 60% one party and 40% the other party, I think that's how our representation should be.
Yes.
Otherwise, you are disenfranchising people. Whichever side is, I think it's wrong. I don't think that everybody is represented. And we talk about the money coming into it when businesses and stuff, lobbyists, like last year when we were fighting with the casinos. Who's representing the person? If you're giving $5 and the casino is giving $5,000, whose phone call are they going to take? So here again, when we talk about representation, I think it should be we the people.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Kim, and I think that some states have stepped forward. Alabama and Tennessee have both announced they're going to be redistricting. Now, I know for some states, it's kind of late. It's like in North Carolina, we did redistrict one district, okay? But the primary's already done, so it's kind of late. So it might not get done, but I believe that the Supreme Court finally got it right with this race, you know, business, that you can't use race. And the thing is, I saw an estimate the other day that they indicated that if all the states went and used this according to the rules of the Supreme Court, the Republicans would gain like 20-some-odd seats in the House. That's how many of the districts are currently configured based on race.
Based on race, yeah. Louisiana, I guess, it potentially is not going to have a primary because they have to, they can't do the current primaries on invalid districts.
Yeah, so they got to, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It's too bad the decision didn't come out 6 months ago.
So, well, the Supreme Court gave permission for the opinion to take immediate effect. So they will have the new map in Louisiana before these primaries.
Good.
You were talking about the Republicans that didn't support the redistricting that would have helped us get more conservative in. They were on the high road to heck, in the words of AC/DC. Highway versus high road, but I was just trying to make it fit.
Comment of the day. You win.
You know, also, now Virginia's
highway to heck.
Virginia's high court ruled unanimously that this election,
The map
was invalid. The way that they held this election was invalid.
Supreme Court upheld that judge.
The state
Supreme Court validated what that judge said. That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, not sure whether they're going to try to appeal to the federal courts for the state issue. I don't know.
And they think they'll win now.
You know, I'm really beginning to understand why our founding fathers didn't like political parties.
Me too.
Because this is, again, what you see in New England is inexcusable. What you see in other places is no different.
Well, but I think looking at it from the standpoint of if it's 40 Democrat, 60 Republican, so therefore you should have 40 representative seats, and 40%, 60 representative seats, it really isn't voted that way. It's in each count, in each district, you vote. And if you got a majority Republican in all the districts, you're going to get all the districts. You know,
The districts are set up so that the Republican vote is diluted by throwing in a major city.
I understand, but I'm saying if no one plays games with it, it isn't designed to do the split like Kim said would be fair, which I'm not disagreeing with her, of course. But
of course not. You have to go home with her.
You know, I'm gonna go back to the Groucho Marx thing. Groucho Marx said,
I'm against it.
Whatever it is, I'm against it. And we have a problem where Akeem Jeffries will not really talk with Mike Johnson. I mean, we don't have from the opposite sides. These folks got to get together. And Mike, earlier, Glenn, you wanted them to get into the.
I wanted Thune and Johnson to be locked up to where they had to not throw things back and forth at each other. They had to figure it out together. And, so both chambers had a good chance
and
of
passing. And we'll only feed them water and stale bread.
Yes, okay. If that much. Maybe just water.
Maybe just work. But we've got to get them working together. Again, you mentioned because everything that's happening now is being done on executive orders.
Yeah.
We've got to get around that.
What Trump has done has been, very positive for the economy. The jobs report just came out today, and a lot, you know, that it looks good. I don't have the workforce participation figures for April yet, but the jobs report looks really good. We're adding jobs. But again, if these are not enshrined in law, you put in a Democrat Congress or a Democrat president, all the economic success goes away.
Let's segue this comment that you just made, Mary, into the Iran war and what's going on there. There was a poll done, I believe the Washington Post this week, and they said that 34% of the population thinks Trump's done the right thing with the war. And looking at that from an economic perspective, people are not understanding the impact of what this war means to the world economy, not just ours, especially with the oil and price of gas. And if you think about manufacturing and what all petroleum goes into, the fact that the majority of the population does not understand the impact of what this war means is frightening to me.
Well, the thing that is scary, I think you're talking about long-term impact, are you not?
Yes.
Because we have been under the threat of nuclear attack from Iran since 1979. I mean, I don't know when they started their nuclear program, but they've been yelling death to America since 1979.
I think Hillary started it.
Well, I think the part of the problem, Kim, is that a lot of people, like Mary said, they don't look at the long-range implications. All they look is the short-term pain. So they look at what I'm paying for gas. And, of course, a big percentage of that 34% are going to be Democrats that wouldn't agree with anything Trump's done under any circumstance. And, you know, the sad part about it is that the founding fathers, when they set up the way to elect Congress, they obviously the simple thing was to have two senators from every state. That was easy. But when they went to relating it to the population, then they had to figure each state had to got so many, and then the states had the authority to select and set their districts, and that's where I think things went awry. But I agree with you. There ought to be some system that's more definitive and less manipulable.
Well, we were talking about oil and the impact on the world and all with it's UAE, is that the right acronym?
Yes.
Is dropped out of OPEC. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just one thing that's happened on this oil stuff. I mean, what's happened with this war is it's totally disrupted the norm on oil production, oil shipping, and who controls it. I think oil prices over the next year or two, they're projected, if you look, over the next decade to drop to $50.
It's also interesting. The UAE has a pipeline that avoids the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two different pipelines, I think.
And that's going to come into play. And of course, they're no longer strangle-held by OPEC in terms of how much they can produce.
I did want to say something about polls. Kim had those polls. There's Penn polls. The Penn organization, who he's not right-leaning, he's pretty middle, maybe left-leaning. And those polls show the numbers to be like 60-40, 60 that support what Trump's doing. So it's a matter of who did the poll and who's selling the poll.
Right.
And I believe Penn's poll to be more accurate.
And they said, I heard that almost 100% of all the MAGA Republicans support what he's doing. So that's his base.
Yeah.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Where are we going
to
go?
I'd just like to follow up on the conversation we were just having about oil supply globally. And it's pretty clear what's happening is as the oil coming out of the Middle East gets restricted, countries are looking for alternatives. And one of those alternatives is to get it from the United States. And Trump with his, his
drill baby drill,
has gotten us in a position where theoretically we could provide more. And that would make those countries more immune to Iran, even if they come back and try to shut down the strait. And it also indicates that some of the states like, see here, that California is running out of crude oil because they haven't been drilling. They haven't restrictions against drilling any more wells in California. So
and the refineries.
Yeah, and they're cutting their own throats.
And we're very, very limited on the refineries, yeah. So, you bring in crude, but you need someplace to process it. Mm-hmm. That's someplace where Gavin Newsom doesn't have control.
To show you what, if you expand your capability in these products, you make yourself and other countries less dependent on these authoritarian troublemakers that use that as a tool to restrict you.
We can become a supplier of choice. The other good thing about the drilling and the oil is the byproduct, natural gas. I mean, they're trying to figure out how to get rid of some of that stuff, and that natural gas is being a big boom for us, too. So, the United States is setting good on the economic front.
And a lot of this goes back, Glenn, to the liberals' green energy policies.
Yeah.
Because that's what it really boils down to. They were afraid of global warming and all this other nonsense.
Scam.
And they stopped making nuclear plants. And now there are nuclear plants are being planned and expanded also, which you need all kinds of energy.
Yeah.
And, with AI, that's very demanding in these data centers. We need more cheap energy, not less.
Belgium announced the last few days that they are stopping their green energy scam and they are going to bring back their nuclear plants.
Hurrah, hurrah.
Because they see the handwriting on the wall. This war against Iran has really exposed the frailty of the national or the global oil production and availability. And so they finally came out and said, okay, no more of this green stuff because Germany has just about put themselves in a hole.
And Spain had converted totally to solar and They had to undo it. Spain actually went dark.
Right.
Well, we're talking about Europe. Is anybody interested in talking about NATO?
I want to stay on this for a minute on the energy, and that is, I still hear people say, well, it's an all-the-above energy thing. I don't think solar is a good idea, no matter what. I do understand localized power, try to keep stuff off the grid, but it goes back to these modular nuclear plants. are the better choice in that. So I don't know that I'll ever buy into wind and solar are good ideas, except in for some very, very targeted markets.
Right. You know, an interesting thing about wind and solar, over the last 20 years, maybe 25 years, and so many things, whether it's computers or whether it's lighting, LED lighting and all, those things are greatly reduced the amount of power that they need. If they had stayed the way that they were, we would be screaming and hollering and having these rolling brownouts.
And who did the green energy policy make rich? China. Who provided the windmills? Who provided the batteries and material and the rare earth materials to do that? China.
Solar panels.
All that. And who was supporting it? The
Biden.
Liberal Democrats. Yeah. And they were just, our biggest adversary, potentially, China.
Yeah.
And they were just building them up.
A little rabbit trail to go down also. Apparently, they just discovered a large lithium deposit in the Allegheny.
Appalachia.
Oh. Appalachia? Okay, Appalachia.
Nice.
That'll run us for service for 328 years.
Dig, baby, dig.
Dig, baby, dig.
Dig, baby, dig.
Now, can we talk about NATO now?
Go for it.
Unless somebody has something else I want.
No.
While we're talking about Europe and NATO and these European countries, I think Trump is really leading the way on revealing the reality of the NATO countries. They, for years, were not living up to the amount of money they were supposed to be investing in their own defense and their own armaments, and he confronted them on that, and they did, most of them did increase. I don't think Spain did, but anyway. But now it's an issue of whether we can count on them.
To engage.
Here we go. Yeah, we go into a situation in the Middle East, which affects them actually more than us. We weren't getting our oil through the Straits of Hormuz, but none of them stepped up. They all backed out. And now I understand Trump announced the other day he's going to withdraw 5,000 troops from Germany.
Out of the 32,000 that we have there.
36,000. Yeah?
36,000.
Yeah. I want to comment on the withdrawing troops from Germany, since I was stationed in Germany twice. I remember the second time I was there, one of my friends who was in the Army was living in an apartment on the economy. In other words, a German apartment, paying for German utilities. And we'd go over her house in the wintertime, and we had to leave our coats on because it was too expensive to heat her apartment. If she took a bath, she only had enough hot water to, you know, squat in.
A sponge bath.
And, yeah, and if she washed dishes, I think after a certain amount of time, she got nothing but cold water because she had this little teeny, and she had to heat her own water. She had a water heater that was really small, but it was what she got hot water out of. So you could either wash the dishes or you could take a bath. You couldn't do both.
Well, I was over just comment about Germany. I was in Germany for 2.5 years. From 1967 to 69, and lived on the German economy. Mm-hmm. Had an apartment, paid $70 a month for it. Everything was manageable. I was the first lieutenant making about $375 a month.
Wow.
That was it.
I know.
And then, but at that time, the dollar
was strong.
It was like 4 marks to a dollar. So then the dollar dropped in value. We got off the gold standard. And then things went downhill. And that's probably why the people start experiencing what you described.
Well, yeah.
We didn't have those issues when I was over.
Well, when I was in Berlin in 1974 to 76, the dollar was strong.
Yeah.
So we little airmen, we were traveling around Europe like kings.
Yeah.
I mean, we were living high on the hog.
Yeah.
But then, 2 years later, when I went back to Germany, to Augsburg, the dollar was the lowest it had been since World War II.
Yeah.
And things were really expensive on the German economy. But as far as withdrawing the 5,000 troops, when you're over there, And the Germans make clear that they're not happy you're there. They're happy to take your money, but they're not happy you're there. I don't see why we have so many troops there. And I think it's a good way to draw them up short by saying we're yanking out 5,000 and we may take more. Kaiserslautern, they call it K-Town because it's just army. It's just an army
camp. That's where
camp.
I was stationed.
Yeah.
And it was, at that time when I was there in the late 60s, it was only 20 years after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some, and Russia was still a big power.
Right.
So there was some reason for us to keep troops there. But now it's 60 years. Russia is not what it was then. The Soviet Union's gone down. I'm not saying Russia's not a threat, but not like they were right after World War II. They had the atomic bomb. Nobody else did, us other than us. And but it's time to bring them home. I mean, Europe's got to stand up and defend themselves. We're going to be at defending Europe. When did we bring them home? 60 years after the war? What are we still having the men over there for?
I think the whole idea of that system is shown that it's a fallacy. I mean, we don't have support from other nations.
Right, the name United Nations, and if you look at who they're putting on the councils, there was someone just recently named that a country, we talked about it last week, Mary, that they're against a lot of human rights, but they're on the commission.
And they got
Iran.
Named.
Iran.
Yeah.
Well, the problem, too, with NATO, to go back to NATO, is, you know, we're supposed to be defending them, and yet when we asked for help with the Iran thing to use their bases, we got garbage.
Well, we are supposed to be defending them, although we got troops that we could do that. We're supposed to be defending for each other.
Yes.
It's not U.S. defends everybody. Shoot, we don't need a NATO to do that.
That's why it's called an alliance.
That's the aggravating.
I'm going to add another quick, unanswerable question. Who paid for the air bases that we are not allowed to use?
We did.
We probably
sure
did.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
Well, that's why King Charles had to come over to try to patch the relationship between the U.K. and the United States after Starmer threw it in the toilet.
I just want to know where all the No Kings Rally people were.
Standing up in Congress.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing.
And I love the cartoon about two kings. That was, Trump knows how to troll. He really does. He knows how to troll.
Speaking of trolling, did you say that he's going to rename ICE? Nice.
Yeah, the National Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So that
will make a difference.
So when they report on it, they're going to have to say Nice showed up.
Oh.
I'm picking up what they're putting down.
That's right.
I mean, that would be so good.
Just trolling everywhere. for all you fishermen that understand trolling better than we do.
Yeah.
Could we really get out of NATO is, a real question. You know, the headquarters, whatever they call it, is
in Brussels.
And then the what is the big building in New York?
United Nations.
That's the United Nations. That's different.
Well, I think we need out of them too.
I think we need to take their building over and turn it into housing because it's got a beautiful view of the river.
Well, actually, Europe has more population than we have. They also have a larger gross domestic product than the United States. So why are we defending them?
That's right.
I mean, they have plenty of money. They have plenty of men, and they have plenty to defend.
I think
themselves.
It's because they're sissies.
They're sissies.
I read a thing online the other day, and it said, it was a clip on YouTube, and it says, why the French always want the Americans with them. And it said, it quoted a French soldier saying, well, for one thing, the Americans are stronger than all the French soldiers. And number two, if you ask for a rescue, they'll come. He said, they'll tell you, sit tight, we're coming to get you.
That's a definition of sissy.
Yeah. Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake
Very
Up Call.
Good.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters, and hopefully you're enjoying the show. We're going to go in a different direction. Mary, you wanted to talk about a specific judge.
Yes. Recently, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, we had someone attempt to assassinate President Trump. Fortunately, the Secret Service grabbed him, and he wound up in jail. Well, a federal judge has apologized to the
Shooter,
because he was put in solitary confinement because they thought he was a suicide. They put him on suicide watch.
By the way, the judge's name, Magistrate Judge Zia Faruqi, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the judge evidently is supposed to be the first Pakistani-born Muslim judge.
Great.
Yay.
And
diversity is our strength.
He didn't understand American law. But anyway, he apologized to the person who tried to shoot the president, that he didn't think the person was treated as well as they might have been. That makes my head hurt.
Well, it gives me great understanding that this trial will be fair and unbiased, because that's the judge that's going to preside over that guy's trial.
Is it?
Well, that gives me more pause in why would we put him under suicide watch? Let him do his thing.
Yeah, I agree.
And it'll save us some money.
Exactly.
And all's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right.
That's a little harsh.
He's facing.
That's a little harsh.
Self-inflicted.
He's facing life in prison, imprisonment, and let him make a choice.
You know, an interesting thing, though, when you read the articles about this, the alleged person who allegedly came into the hotel, who allegedly went through the
we have it on film. How's it alleged?
Why is all that stuff alleged?
It's called covering your ass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she said that word.
She said. Okay.
Moving right along.
He meant jackass, I'm sure.
Moving right along.
Maybe it's time to change the topic.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I have something that may be of interest to people. This is more domestic and something that affects all of us potentially. And this is an example of where the country's going under the Liberal Democrats. If you remember reading 1984 by George Orwell, he talks about society moving in that direction and Big Brother getting to the point where they can monitor everything you do, everywhere you are, and control you. And what happened was in 2021, the Biden administration slipped in a restriction, and the bill had to do with general infrastructure of bridges and so on and so forth. But since it was a highway bill, they slipped in a requirement that as of all new vehicles built in 2026, 2027, would have to have these electronic monitors that would observe you as a driver, looking at your eyes, looking at the movement of your hands. They even have monitors on the steering wheel. They can tell how tight you're gripping the wheel, and they can tell how you're braking. A whole purpose of this is to try to identify a person that would perhaps at that point be unfit to drive. And what it does, it shuts your vehicle down. So if they observe that, your vehicle shuts down, you can't start it up, and you have to wait there until somebody, I guess, police or somebody comes. And so that's one of the things that we're facing. And there was a group of Republicans tried to get that rescinded in January, but unfortunately, there were 57 Republicans that voted to keep it.
And I'm shocking. And I'm assuming that these cars also have cameras and vision on the front of them that will slow the car down slowly and allow them to get into the onto the curb so that they don't just stop in the middle of the highway. Yeah. Surely they've had the forethought not to just stop the car on the middle of I-95 going 80 miles an hour. Surely that can't be true.
Wow. Well, the danger here with this, let's say we live in the South, people hunt. You're out bear hunting and things go south real quick and you got a bear chasing you and you jump in your car. Mm-hmm. And you're ready to drive away. At that point, your blood pressure is probably elevated, you're probably sweating, and Lord knows what your heart rate is. Your car is gonna tell you you're not fit to drive. Meanwhile, you've got a bear right there. And bears are pretty, I don't know if bears break windows, tear off doors. I don't know anything about bears. I don't know what they can do.
And you don't want to stick around to find out, do you?
No, I don't.
All I know is you just have to run faster than your friend.
Well, you know, when you brought this up before, I said, well, it could be a thug in D.C.
It could be.
Yeah.
You want to get
out of
there.
Which is more likely scenario than a bear.
Well, but what about the states that have made marijuana legal? What about those people?
They still can't drive intoxicated or impaired. Yeah. So it would still work for them.
But all these things that might, for you could look at it, at some of these things and say, well, this might have a good possible use or have some good objective.
That's the highway to heck.
Yeah, the problem is the objectives can be abused. For example, these electronic systems in your cars, what prevents the government from having an overriding capability of shutting down all your vehicles, like during the COVID.
Yeah.
They could come in and say, we don't want anybody to drive. They shut down all your vehicles, you can't ride. And these electronic systems have the capability of that.
I'm sure they do.
And, that's where it could lead.
We also have some of those capabilities belonging to cities with your electric coming into your home, where they can limit your use.
That's what the smart
you sign up for it
about.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have only so many people living in your house, therefore you're only entitled to this much electricity.
Well, the way that it is currently administered is that you get a slightly reduced rate, and they have the ability to shut down your air conditioning for 6 minutes out of an hour. When the
load is
high.
Yeah, but you have to sign up for it.
You have to sign up for it. That's right now.
At the moment, you have to.
At the moment, you have to sign up. In Sweden, at the moment, you have voluntarily being implanted with a chip right there that will have all of your medical background and your ID and stuff like that. It's the mark of the beast that we have read about.
Yeah, and some cities I was reading there was some cities like in UK, Scotland, and some of the northern areas, they had restrictions on how far people could drive from their homes.
Yeah, the 15-minute cities.
They wanted to reduce the amount of gasoline consumption, so you only could drive so many miles. And if you violated that, now all they needed was a system like this, and they could shut you down after so many miles. Yeah. It's just where you've exceeded the limit. They know where you've gone with GPS. They know exactly where you are at all times. The other thing is the fact that they estimate that these systems will cost a minimum of $2,000 for each car. So here we go. We've complained about affordability, how expensive cars are, and now they're going to add another unnecessary thing. And it's just going down the wrong road.
Does somebody have to monitor that electronic, or is it integral to the circuit of the car? The car shuts itself down.
Inside the circuit of the car, the algorithm that shuts it down is in your vehicle.
So,
but you could theoretically have some system that controls that from outside the car.
But would this take effect as you're driving or before you start the car?
You're asking a great question.
Yeah.
Because if you're driving 80 miles an hour down I-95 and your car decides to turn off, it doesn't care if you're on a four-lane highway.
Well, we already have a system with diesel trucks.
Yes.
They call it a it's diesel exhaust system. And what that does is that if your diesel exhaust system, mm-hmm. which is supposed to purify your exhaust, okay, if that system starts to have a problem, you get a warning that you have to take care of that within so many miles. If you exceed that miles, that truck will stop, not stop, it goes down to 5 miles per hour maximum speed. So you're out on an interstate, everybody's doing 80, and all of a sudden your vehicle drops down to 5 miles an hour, you might as well be stopped.
Yeah, and in my experience, these programs are seldom bulletproof. I mean, bugs, and they could even be hacked. I mean, who knows what could happen with these things that are controlling that?
And they can be abused.
They're expensive. My system on my diesel truck went out, it cost me $3,300 to get it fixed. And the only people that had the parts that could fix it were the dealerships. The independent parts people couldn't get the parts. Mm-hmm. So again, it's with these manufacturers.
These are systems that will shut the car down. They might have some remote ability to say, "Okay, you're okay now. We'll restart your car."
Meanwhile, the bear broke into your car.
Yeah. And
or the thug.
You can't restart because you're a member of such and such a society. Now, okay, we've got 2 minutes to go. Mary, go ahead.
On May 28th at 6:30 at Stanley Hall in New Bern, CCTA will be honoring members of the Sheriff's Office in Pamlico, Carteret, and Craven Counties, and the police departments of Havelock and New Bern. And this is open to the public. It's a free event. There'll be light refreshments. Come on out and support your local law enforcement people.
And I would just say, historically, that's been a great event. It does your heart good to see the families of these people that serve. And this means a lot to them. And the more people that can go and show their respect, because it is free, I think you'll experience something that you'll know meant something.
Now, in the past, we've had canine demonstrations, and I'm hoping we can arrange one for this year also, because those are fast. Those dogs are amazing.
Mm-hmm. But we need to let the officers and deputies know that they are supported by the public.
Yeah, and these are picked by their organizations as the person. So it's each of these organizations, each of these law enforcement groups are picking who they think
they're
deserves
picked by
it
their peers.
By their peers, and it's a great event. So,
what do we want to wrap up on?
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Yes, yes. And let's see what else.
Speaking about Mother's Day, they had today. Of course, today is Wednesday. They had President Trump and his wife They had a little celebration for military mothers, mothers of military in the White House, which, again, yes, getting back to, you know, respecting people who stand up to defend.
Who serve.
Not sissies.
On that, we've got to end the show. You folks have a wonderful week. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.